get into chapter 5 and he started talking about the second coming. And he kept just talking about the day of the Lord. He goes, I just want you guys to know this day's not going to overtake you because we've not been appointed to wrath. So guys, just remember this. Jesus Christ has taken our wrath. He has taken our sin. So we're going to be raptured out. The church will be taken out before tribulation hits planet Earth. Then after that, when the second coming of Christ, when he comes back to planet Earth, the rapture, he comes back in the air. The second coming, he's coming back to the earth. We're coming with him. That's what the Bible teaches. So Paul is setting that record straight for them. And so it's been really good to read this and see it. And a lot of people are confused by these events. They mix them up. And this is where we just believe every word in the Bible. So today we're going to cover 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 16 and we're going to work our way down to verse 22. Are you ready? 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 22. It says this. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. By the way, if you ever want to memorize scripture, start with those two, right? They're nice and short. And everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Hey, quench not the spirit, he says in verse 19. In verse 20, he says, despise not prophesying. Prove all things and hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Jesus, teach us your word today. I pray these portions of scripture can come to life. May we get it. May we understand it. Lord, stretch us today. I pray that, Lord, we need some of that in our lives too, so we welcome that. So you know where we're at, and I know you're going to meet us there. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Verse 16, he just says, rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. The word rejoice, of course, you can see the root of that would be joy. He basically is saying, hey, man, at all times, be glad. Be happy. Rejoice evermore. A couple reasons the Bible gives, really, regarding rejoicing. In Matthew chapter 5, in verse 10, he speaks of, like, this is like these Beatitudes. He's like, you're going to be persecuted. You disciples are going to be reviled. They're going to speak evil of you. And he ends Matthew chapter 5 and he says, but rejoice and be exceedingly glad. After that, he said, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Why? He says, great is your reward in heaven. So he says, life is going to be tough. The Bible says we will suffer tribulation. We will go through difficulty as believers. Guys, we're supposed to live against a culture that's against the Bible. Our lives will be contrary to that. And so that's what he says. But go ahead and rejoice. Be exceeding glad because great is your reward in heaven. We have an eternal reward coming. So there's a reward. And guys, the reward's not today. We live for rewards today, don't we? That's what we want, happiness now. That's what I want. I want McDonald's now. That's what I want. I want to be happy immediately. Man, we got to cook dinner tonight. No, we don't have time to cook dinner now, you know. And so we that's what we want. This is how we live our lives. I want it now. Click. Buy. Buy now. Bam, bam, bam. Go, go, go. You know, this is our lives. We want to be happy today. We want our lives to be smooth. And he says, it's not necessarily going to be that way for us. The reward is actually in eternity. Here it's going to be rough. It's going to be suffering. But there's a reward and it's going to be the eternal. Matter of fact, in Revelation 19:7, he says this. Talks about being glad and rejoice. Why? Because the Lamb, there's a marriage supper of the Lamb. And guys, the Bible says that that we are the bride of Christ, right? And so we're going to have a relationship. We have a relationship with him now, but when we see him face to face, there's going to be a marriage supper of the Lamb in Revelation 19. It says, be glad and rejoice. The day's coming. The day's coming. So, you know, you just think of the days coming up before a marriage. You got a couple and they're waiting, especially a Christian couple, and they're trying to do it correctly and be pure. And there's just a lot of difficulty and struggle and waiting. But the day's coming. The day's coming. There will be a great celebration. And the day's coming. You'll be together. And you as a couple will be as one. But today, you know what people say today? I'm not waiting. I want it now. And that's why people today, sex is so casual, isn't it? It's so casual, and all of a sudden it's lost its specialness. Look up the stats on your own. Don't take my word for it. You don't even have to take the Bible's word for it. Look up the stats on divorce. Look at the stats on premarital sex. Look at all those stats, and then you come up to your own conclusion. You tell me if it's not best to do it the Bible's way, you know? And so the day is coming, we're going to be with the Lord. I rejoice in that today. Today might not be so good for you. Hey, there's a day coming. The trumpet's going to blow. I look forward to that day. And some people, not so much. So you know why we're going to rejoice, and we're going to rejoice at all times? Because eternity's coming. We're going to stand before a holy God. We're going to stand in everything we've always believed and some of the suffering we've gone through. He don't care about your bank account. He don't care about your retirement. He don't care really about any of that stuff. He's going to say, okay, what have you done for Christ? What have you done for the eternal? Rejoice always, man. Rejoice. Be glad. So the first one we got to mark down is because of the eternal, right? The next one I want to point out is in Luke chapter 15. I don't think you have to turn there because most of us would know this story if you've had any time in church. You know, that story where the Bible says, you know, the shepherd, or in our case, Jesus, would leave the 99 to go rescue the one sheep that was lost. Does everybody know that story? He would leave the 99 to rescue the one. Well, the next thing you know, the Bible says, when he finds that one lost sheep, he'll put it on his shoulders. That's what it says in Luke 15 and verse 5. And he comes back rejoicing that the one that was lost is now found. Now, history tells us if you have a wandering lamb, many a times what would happen is the shepherd would break his leg on purpose. So he couldn't wander off so easily. And he would have to carry him. So he's with the fold all the time on the shepherd's shoulders, right? And so he left the 91 to rescue the one. Now it says the shepherd comes back rejoicing that the one is found. I'm sure the lamb with the broken leg's not so happy. Right? So this tells me, for you and me, I want to be a rescuer. I want to be like Jesus Christ. He says he came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus Christ comes and seeks the lost. I want to be that guy on planet Earth that finds the wandering. I want to find the one that's not in the fold. I want to be part of that. I want to be part of the process. And you know why? Because you come back and you rejoice, right? So let's be part of this. That's why Paul says in the book of Philippians chapter 1, he goes, oh, there's all kinds of different churches out there and different groups of people. But listen, if the gospel's preached, if the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, if Jesus Christ is preached, I rejoice. I'm fired up about that. Why? Because people are getting rescued. So we're going to be fired up about that. Any group of people, any ministry out there that does that, and we just say, man, they're preaching Jesus, and I'm pretty pumped up about that. So guess what? Rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. People now have a time keeping their crap together, don't they? Just in the mind, I'm so depressed. Well, listen, here's what the Bible says. Be glad. Always. At all times. What kind of message is that? Guys, I do not know. I didn't write it. I'm just delivering the newspaper this morning. Rejoice evermore. Be glad. And somebody would say, I just feel like I can't right now. Man, you are going to have to take God's word over this one. 2 John 1:4, he says, I'm going to rejoice greatly to hear that my children walk in truth. I've noticed when you study a lot of these verses at the end of Thessalonians, a lot of them have to be, they're others focused. Isn't that amazing? Rejoice evermore. Be glad always at all times. You know, when I studied that word evermore, there's several things that keep coming up. One, with the word always or evermore, prayer. It keeps saying pray always. Paul says, I make mention of you in my prayers always. Philippians 1:4, always in every prayer of mine. Colossians 1:3, praying always for you. Always. Another word, prayer, thanks. Thanksgiving. They kind of tie together, right? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:4, I thank God always for you. So he says, I'm giving thanks always in Ephesians 5:20. 1 Thessalonians 1:2 at the beginning of this book, I'm thanks to God always for you in my prayers. So prayer and thanksgiving for other people. So when Paul, I think he's saying rejoice evermore or be glad evermore and at all times. maybe the way to get victory in our lives and to be glad and to be in a better state here would be just to live for other people. You know how it is. Guys, I'm selfish at Christmas time. I'm like a kid sitting in the living room. Now, when I was a kid, I was selfish, and I opened up every gift under there, including my brothers. You know, like, man, this is for me. And now I get to watch other people do that. I love watching other, and when you have children, you'll know how that. You selfishly buy gifts for your children. I've had to tell new parents, you know, they're hurting for money and it's Christmas time. I'm like, hey, your kid is not even one. He'll never remember Christmas. Don't get him nothing but a clean diaper, man. He'll be happy about that. She'll never know. But you know how it is. You're a parent. You know why? You give, like, selfishly. It's for you, isn't it, Mama? Okay, be honest. It is for me. So rejoice evermore, a way that we can be glad. And some of you today is like, man, I haven't been glad in a whole while, man. Like, I'm struggling really upstairs. Well, as a Christian, then live your life for other people. The key to joy is J-O-Y, right? Jesus, others, you. And I get it. I'm not saying you don't have some real trouble in your life. It's not like we're ignoring that type of thing. But, you know, sometimes the best thing we do on Monday afternoons, I'd go up to the Warren County Jail and walk in with the Bible. And sometimes I'm like, man, my life is sucking right now. Until I walk through those doors, I'm like, I'm doing all right. There's some people up there that have some real problems. They have some real darkness. Some real sin issues that keep landing back behind bars. And sometimes just going up there does something for the Spirit to be able to preach God's word and to deliver it. And, you know, at our county jail, they don't get, we need a new jail. They voted that in. We are going to get that. It'll be some years. But they don't get, like, yard time. You imagine being locked up. They got blocks over the windows. They don't get fresh air. They don't get no real sunlight coming in there. And some of you would say, well, yeah, they don't deserve that. Okay, you can say that if you want to. You don't know what everybody's case and situation is. That's for sure. But when you get up there, man, you start talking, there's some darkness. To bring in a little fresh air and a little bit of light, you know, it makes me leave that place and go on, my gosh, God, thank you. Thank you. And I'm going to rejoice forever because I know I'm just a step away. I could be the guy in there, right? So the Bible says rejoice evermore. So just want to encourage you today, let's be glad. Be glad. You know, you can be sad. Or you can be glad. We have a thing around our dining room table. I used to do it more when my girls was little. Name one thing today that you were glad about. And then every once in a while somebody would be like, can we skip that? I got something I'm sad about. Okay, name one thing you're sad about. And then you get all the sadness out, you know. Name something you're glad about. And sometimes you'd hit a spot and you'd be like, huh, I don't really have anything. Then find something. Find something, man. You can't live your life that way. But life is tough, isn't it? And especially being a believer in this culture. So, church, I want to encourage you this morning, rejoice. Be glad evermore. And if you can't be glad on this soil, think of eternity. Right? Think of eternity. And sing the songs that you know that are about eternity, right? Sing that. I like that song. I know some of you ladies went to that concert, that Blessing Offer sings that song, Tin Roof. This dude's blind. So when he thinks of heaven, he just said, man, I hope heaven one day is like rain hitting a tin roof. Because he remembers that as a kid, hitting his tin roof. He's actually from kind of a jungle area in Africa. And he came to live in the U.S. He's like, I pray heaven's like a tin roof. Because that brings pleasure to him. It brings a smile to his face. And so remember that. We're in Thessalonians here. He tells some of them, you have people, man, believers that have died. You're going to see them one day. Man, rejoice forevermore. Life's short, man. It's all going to be good in eternity, isn't it? It's all going to be good in eternity. Rejoice evermore. Look at verse 17. You know what he says next? Pray without ceasing. Isn't it crazy? The key to rejoicing evermore, don't stop praying. And he already said, when I studied evermore, you found prayer ever. Always pray. Always, always, always. Thanks, always, always, always. There's something to this. To be glad evermore, you and me got to be a praying person. Hey, I found this story, man. I want to read to you. I should have done this before I opened up the prayer box. You ready? There's a guy named Tony Shea. His name don't look that way. He's from a part of the world that I can't quite pronounce it, but I think you say it, the word Shea. But this is a guy that he promotes happiness and world peace. He's a business guru in Zappos. You know that company that Amazon ended up sucking that thing up for $1.2 billion back in 2009? This guy here was one of the head guys there. That's what he did. And so he wrote a book called Delivering Happiness, A Path to Profits, Passion, and Purpose. That was his title of his book, Delivering Happiness, A Path to Profits, Passion, and Purpose. So he became the workplace happiness guy, the guru. Big companies like IBM would fly him in and say, could you speak to our company? So thousands of business leaders, even government officials, would plug into his stuff and want him to speak, right? And so Mr. Shea, when he stepped down as the CEO from Zappos in 2020, he thought, I'm going to achieve world peace. He moved to Park City, Utah, and he wanted to create a place where intellectuals and artistic people could come. People with oversized salaries could join. He goes, we could make this great utopian place to live. So he put this town in a model blueprint. He goes, if we could get this thing going, then we could model it all across the world. This is what happiness would bring. So behind all of his success, though, listen to this. Mr. Shea had for years struggled privately. He had social anxiety. People didn't know, but he was autism. But he also struggled with alcohol abuse. 5 months before he died, he suffered a breakdown because he was abusing drugs at the time. He described it as he took the drugs because he needed a spiritual fix. This guy, the guru of happiness, you know what he did? He struggled with his mental stability, and he started growing an infatuation with fire, of all things. He liked to fool around with, did magic tricks with it. In his very bedroom, he had a ring of fire that would actually shoot fire, land nowhere. He liked to light candles, but put them on his bed sheets. Like, he just had a little bit of an infatuation with a fire. So this small fire ring in his bedroom shot flames in the air, but it had no barriers, you know. But, you know, he died at 46 years old in November of 2022. And you know how he died? From injuries sustained in his house fire. This is the guru for happiness. This was the guy that people wanted to listen to. I am not sure you'll ever find, the Bible says, joy, peace, contentment, happiness is not found in business. It's obviously not found in bucks. I mean, most of the people that we love and follow in life, isn't it crazy? You think, my gosh, I'd just love to be a bazillionaire. I'd love to have $1 million. Man, most of the millionaires I like, they got issues. They got drug problems, and I'm like, I love the dude's music. I mean, that dude, if he can get out of rehab, he can maybe play some more music, right? They struggle. And why would I think the key to happiness is having money or to having a proper relationship? Relationships are so difficult. They're hard. Not always bad, but sometimes they are. It's hard, right? And so the Bible says this, that Jesus Christ said, here's the deal. Mankind is empty on the inside, but if you meet me, I'll move inside. I'll take up residence and put my Holy Spirit inside of you, and you can be full. You can be fulfilled. Happiness is to know the Savior. That's it. Happiness is a person. It's not a set of rules. It's not a certain way to do things. And you can read books on it all you want to. And a good friend of mine actually became a Christian because when he was lost, he says, man, I am not happy. So he started buying books from the library, reading biographies, getting all these books from the library on self-help type of things. He goes, I've got to fix my life. He started going to alcohol a little bit too much. And he came into my office one day and he set a stack of books on my desk. He goes, every one of these books, I got self-help to help me. And he goes, every one of them speak of being spiritual. Every one of them speak on having a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's when they got fulfilled. He said, Mike, I'm here today to get saved. And he met Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord for that. He found it. So I'm just here to tell you, the happiness guru, yeah, he died with injuries and a fire that he lit himself, you know. So happiness is found in Jesus Christ. Let's not fool ourselves. Happiness is not found anywhere else. So rejoice evermore. We can be, if you know Jesus Christ, be glad, man. My sins are gone. It's not that life still ain't tough, but he says, rejoice evermore. And then he says, pray without ceasing. Without ceasing means this, no intermission. Don't take a break. The worst thing in the world is if you've ever been to like some sort of play or some sort of I've been to where an orchestra before, and then they have an intermission spot. And people like intermission because, you know, sometimes they can go get a drink or they can go get to the bathroom. The worst thing about an intermission for me is when the thing is terrible. It's terrible and you're wanting to end, and now they're taking a 30-minute break in the middle of it. Everybody's all excited about this. I'm like, good Lord, get this thing over with, you know? No intermission when it comes to prayer. The Bible says pray without stopping. Don't think that prayer is just something special. You know, people do this all the time. Like, times are getting tough, and you'll see people go, like, what's that do? Just saying a quick prayer. Okay, you know, I get it. You know, the Bible says we should not stop in our prayers. We should constantly be seeking the Lord, constantly. Billy Graham actually was on the Today Show. This was back in the 80s. And in the Today Show, they they had this studio, and off the side there was a room, and they said, there's a private room over here for the Reverend Billy Graham so he could pray before the broadcast. And so they're like, well, thank you. You know, and all of a sudden they come back later and they see, you know, Billy Graham's not in that room. And so the producer was shocked, and the producer just said, I just thought you, being the man of God you are, the man of influence, would want to pray before the broadcast. And, you know, his response was, I prayed when I woke up, and I prayed when I got a shower. I prayed when I ate breakfast. I prayed when I drove to the studio, and I'm praying now. He doesn't stop. But people do think prayer is something you turn off and on, isn't it? It's a relationship. Keep it going continually. That's what you do. Can't read the Bible. You got a job to do, right? You can't sit and read the Bible at work all the time. You're going to get fired. But you know something you can do at work is pray. People leave your presence and you can pray for them. There's a trouble at work. There's something to solve. And you can be like, boy, Lord, if you could give some wisdom, I do not know how we're going to solve this. You're constantly underneath, man. You know, you're on top. Everybody looks at you like the duck in the water, right? You're like, man, how smooth and how beautiful. But underneath, you're paddling, man. Underneath, you're after it, man. You're working your guts out saying, boy, Lord, this is one for you. So, hey, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Don't stop. Why stop? Let's get better about even praying more out loud. You know, some of us are famous for saying, hey, man, I'll pray for you. Why don't you pray now? Right now. Hey, let's pray before you walk away. Do that now on the phone. You know, and I realize there's times you cannot do that, but all the time, no intermission in our prayers, right? Look at verse 18. He says, in everything, give thanks. Isn't this crazy? The key to rejoicing evermore, when I studied evermore, prayer and thanksgiving. And what's he say next? Pray without ceasing. What's he say next? In everything, give thanks. And then he says this, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. People all the time want to know God's will. Well, here's a simple one. In everything, give thanks. Be grateful. Be thankful in everything, even in difficulty. In the midst of difficulty, you can find something to be thankful for. Find that something. Even at work, even with your family, when people are complaining, people are going crazy, pull together and say, okay, everybody, two things. What are you thankful for? Two things that you can be grateful for. It changes things. And then honestly, the person that's having a problem and it's mad, they're going to struggle. They're going to be like, let me two things to be thankful for. You know what's going on right now? Two things, man. What can you find the thanks, man? Find the thanks. To feel thankful, to be grateful. You see this quite a bit in the Bible. But one of the stories I'd like to tell you about is a story about 10 lepers. There were 10 lepers that were healed, the Bible teaches in the book of Luke. And the 10 lepers were healed, and only one of them came back. One of them came back to Jesus and just said, I wanted to thank you. And Jesus said, hey, where's the other nine? Be the one. That's what I say. 1 in 10 people are going to be grateful. I want to be the one. Be the one. Be the one to say thanks. And it's crazy, you know. Even we were in the midst of cancer, in the midst of leukemia, and, you know, we realized, and my daughter realized that I got to be thankful for this because, man, he stopped my whole world. I had my world, and I was going. I had my plans. I had my dreams. I had whatever I wanted to do, and I was stopped dead in my tracks. And she was able to say, I'm thankful that God gave me cancer. You hear those words, man. It'll sober you right up. Find the thanks. In everything, be thankful. Romans 1:21. Write that verse down. Romans 1:21. It talks about a group of people that glorified God, not as God. Right? It says they did not glorify him as God. And it says, right behind it, it says, neither were they thankful. There's a connection here. There's a connection. They wouldn't give God glory, and neither were they thankful. When we live for God's glory, we can see the great and the bad. We as believers can see God at work. We can see what he's doing, and we're able to say, thank you. Thank you, God. We can give him glory. So remember that. If you're having a hard time being grateful and thankful, who are you living for? Maybe it's yourself, right? Maybe it's yourself. We should live to give God glory, and that way we can say, in everything, I'm going to give thanks. And God, I don't know what's going on here. This could be ugly. God, I can't even see the light at the end of this, but I know you put it in our paths for a reason. God, we're going to give you glory today. We're going to thank you, God. Please help us. Show us the light here, God. Be thankful. So be the one in ten. Be the one in ten. Look at the next verse. Quench not the Spirit. Whew. Quench not the Spirit. You know, we know what thirst quenchers are, right? Drinks that they'll sell that supposedly when you're so thirsty, it'll take your thirst away. The word quench means to extinguish. To quench a fire is to make it go out, right? You're going to put it out. Here it says, quench not the Spirit. When God's Spirit is actively moving in your life, do not put that fire out. Do not do it. Jeremiah 20 says, God's word was in my heart as a fire. Like he said, it was in my bosom, man. I had to speak. And guys, we know all the verses in the Bible that talk about like Revelation. Don't be lukewarm. He said, I'd rather be hot or cold, right? And so to be hot for the Lord, or some people say, man, that girl's on fire for the Lord. And you know what they mean by that is, man, God's alive and well, and she is not quenching the Spirit of God. God is actively moving inside of his life, and he's not quenching at all. In the Old Testament, there was a lamp in the temple, and he said, keep the lamp burning at all times. She had to keep the oil in that lamp. It never, ever, ever, ever was supposed to go out, ever. You get to the New Testament, there's a story about some virgins that have lamps. And they're like, oh my gosh, all their lamps. What is it? The lamps go out, right? And he says, man, your lamp should not go out. So keep the home fires burning, baby. That's what we do as Christians. Don't quench God's Spirit. When God's moving and actively working in your life, we like to do things to sabotage that, man. Don't do it. Keep that fire. Kindle that fire. That's what you do when it's burning and God is moving. Keep that going, right? You know, there's one thing the Bible talks about in eternity, hellfire. People that don't know Jesus Christ will spend an eternity, well, in hell, and then you'll go to the lake of fire. But that place, the Bible says this, listen to this, Mark 9:44, that's a place where the fire is not quenched. It'll never go away. Do you realize that? Hellfire will never stop burning. It'll always be intense. So in eternity, hellfire never dies. You know what the Bible says? So on earth, let's not let heaven's fire go out. We want to bring heaven to earth. That's what we do. That's why we're here for. That's why you're at your place of work and in your neighborhood. That's why you're in your family. God puts you there for to give him glory, to keep that fire, the fire of the Lord, never let it go out. Keep that lamp always lit, whatever it takes. And then when we rescue people, you know, the Bible says hell is constantly, Ezekiel says, is enlarging herself. You know why? Because we're lame. If that would light us on fire, then I'd want people to know and I would be a rescuer. I would want other people to get saved. And upon doing that, you know, we'd all be fired up, wouldn't we? There's another verse where the Bible uses the word quench, and it says this. Ephesians 6:16 says, have a shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. If you don't have the shield of faith, then the fiery darts of the wicked come in. So another thing is this. We're supposed to quench not the Spirit. One way we quench the Spirit of God, but we're talking about fiery darts of the wicked and a shield of faith. So flip that around in your thinking and just think of it this way. Sometimes when God's Spirit and the fire is moving and working in my life, I'll do the most ridiculous things and guard myself. It's scary to be out there like that. So I'll be too guarded. If you're too guarded or too defensive, you know what you'll do? You'll quench the Spirit of God. Yeah, now we have a shield of faith to quench the darts of the wicked. But when the Spirit of God is moving and trying to give you something in your life, don't be too guarded, man. Be vulnerable. Open yourselves up for that. Do not stop that. So quench not the Spirit. God's actively wanting to work in your life. If there's something in your life today that's quenching that, a relationship you have somewhere you're at work, change it up then. Do something different. Quit your job. I don't recommend that. I would. If it was quenching the Spirit in my life, I'm telling you right, I'd quit in a second. I've done it before. Talk to my wife about that. When I have quit jobs before because, like, this is not good. I was driving home one day, and I remember I was working two jobs into my quiet time. God showed me that verse in the prophets where he says, you burn a log at both ends, eventually the middle's burn up. And God just spoke to my heart and said, you're burning yourself up all because you want to make money. And I had to be honest with God that day. And I said, God, because I can't trust you. I can't trust you. Pastors are poor, man. I can't trust you. You know, I'm one sentence away from having two families leave the church. That's how it works. People get upset and there's options in town. It's not like we're out in the middle of nowhere. So I'm like, God, it's hard to trust you. God's like, you need to trust me. That's what you need to do. And so guess what? I quit a job and I trusted him. Man, that was 20 years ago. Man, God's been good. Quench not the Spirit. What's God doing in your life? Stop that. Don't extinguish that fire. You never want it to go out. Amen? Rejoice evermore, man. How are you going to be glad always? Then pray without ceasing. It has something to do with your prayer life. God, I'm struggling right now. Your attitude starts getting sour. You're praying. Boy, God, I need to see you. Then you're being thankful. He says, in everything give thanks, man. This is the will of God concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. God's moving in your life. Do not quench that. What is it? And what activities in your life feed that fire? I know the activities that feed that fire in my life, and I'm going to continue them. I'm going to develop habits with them, and I'm not going to break it. I'm not going to do it. You know how it is, guys. We have a couple fireplaces in our house, and I love to light fires in there. And at nighttime, and I got a bunch of wet wood, man. I wish it was a little bit, you know, better, but it's not seasoned well enough. And what's weird is late at night, I hate when that fire, and I'll come into the room and all you see is just a little bit red. And I'm like, so then I got to get in there, and it takes a lot of work. And I get in there, you're blowing on the thing. And I actually bought a little bitty fan, battery operated, man. I put that to get some air going, oxygen in there to get that fire. Then you can get it going back. It's such a pain in the neck. When in reality, if your flame just goes a little bit low, that's the time to just put on some new wood, you know. And so why? That way the fire does not get quenched. So we let ourselves get spiritually to the spot where we are not doing well. We're not as fired up as we used to be. Why is that? Well, think back when you was fired up and say, I'm going to return back to the first works. That's what Revelation tells us in chapter 3. Return to the first works. Why was you so fired up back then? Well, here's one of the things I quit doing. Well, then do that again. Then all of a sudden you don't let it go down and to where there's just a little bit of red in there. Why are you not fired up for Christ like you used to be? I need to answer that question myself. What have you done to quench God's Spirit? Then get them home fires burning again, and then you'll see that flame go down. Man, stoke that log on there. Get it back on. Get that kindling going again. Whatever it takes. And you know what? This friendship writer, I've noticed, it quenches the Spirit of my life. I don't get fired up when I talk to this guy or I talk to this girl. What's the problem here? Well, I might need to split that relationship up a little bit and then be man enough when they just say, hey, what's the deal? I notice you haven't. Yeah. So I feel like you quench what God is doing, what the Spirit of the living God is doing. I feel like that's quenched. Really? Yeah, for real. Look at verse 20. The next thing he says, despise not prophesying. I like this. Now, don't get carried away when it says prophesying. People get weirded out about this. People have all kinds, because you think, oh, a prophet. They see things and events in the future, right? If you actually look at the definition of a prophet, it's actually more so, it's like the proclamation of truth. So God speaks and you proclaim it. So you and me got a completed Bible. And so a good definition of a prophet would be a man that, now, in the Old Testament, people would predict the future all the time. God would show them things through dreams and voices. Our Bible's complete today. We get our message here. It's my job to proclaim the Bible. That's why even if you look at spiritual gifts, it's like, don't get weirded out on all these gifts. I'd rather everybody prophesy. What's that mean? I'd rather everybody just proclaim what the Bible says. Put the voice of God out there. That's what you do. This is the voice of God. That's what we need to do. So despise not prophesying. So man, quench not the Spirit. You don't want to quench the Spirit? Then don't despise God's voice. Hey guys, don't despise. Love preaching. Love it. Don't think of it as small. That's what we do, is it's just small. Yeah, whatever. Whatever? No, you need to put that as a higher regard in your life. Love God's voice. Hey, even guys, we all like music, and a lot of people bump music as soon as they get up in the mornings. I'm not lying. I put it right up on the top of the shower sometimes. I got a Bluetooth, but when that thing's out, I just put it right up on the shower. My phone's right in there with me. Why? Because I love the music. The Bible says despise not prophesying. I want to treat God's word as something special. So, guys, I'm not even my music choices. I want to be about God's voice. And when something goes contrary, even if a song is good, and you're like, man, don't you like that? I like that. And you're like, well, you know, I like it, but since I'm a Christian, I'm going to get the clean version. You ever listen to the clean versions of some of these songs? And I realized something. I'm like, man, that guy's vocabulary small. You pull out the F word, and man, every other, you know, it's like that. Is that, you know, so, you're like, man, that drives me nuts. You know what that tells me? I need to value God's voice more, and I need to value that less. Yeah, but like, everybody listens to that right now. Let everybody listen to it. Because these are people that despise prophesying. They despise God's word. They're the ones that say this book is old-fashioned. And look at the way our world's headed, guys. Look at it. Are you happy with culture? I look at them just like, my gosh, I see brokenness everywhere. Well, I'm going to treat God's word as the best, man. I'm going to love his voice. Holy men of God spake. They prophesied as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit takes these words right here, right? That's how we got our Bible. We got the Word of God. So let's make sure that you and me, like in Revelation, we hear, we read this book, and we love it. The podcast we listen to. Everybody wants to, man, I need to be successful. I'm going to listen to Success Podcast. And you listen to that stuff, and some of it's just like, some of it you're like, oh, that's good, that's good. Normally I find out the good stuff in it, stuff that was in the Bible to start with. And then a lot of stuff was fleshly, and it appealed to my flesh, and I was like, oh, that's great, that's great, that's great. Years down the road, I'm going, what in the world was that? But the fire's quenched in my life. I need to shut that voice off in my life, and I did. You can ask me some specific names afterwards. I'll tell you specific people. I said, I quit listening to him. The reason why, he was not a godly man. I was despising prophesying the Bible. The Bible works. Don't despise it, man. Remember the nevertheless in the Bible? It's always nevertheless. God, we fished all night long. He said, I want you to launch out into the deep. We've been fishing all night. And they said, nevertheless, we'll go based upon your word. See, they didn't despise prophesying. They didn't despise his voice. They held it higher than their own opinion. That's what we need to do. We need to hire, we need to make sure God's voice is at the top, that flag in our yard is at the top of the pole. And everybody that knows that, what's that about? Yeah, they love God's voice. They love what the Bible says. I don't even care if they just say, yeah, they're a little bit old-fashioned over there at that house. Like they believe the Bible. Yeah, we should, totally do. And why don't you do this activity or that activity? You know why I don't do it? Because that whole organization despises prophesying. They despise God's voice and God's word. So, you know what I'll purposely do? I'll stay behind. I got a chance to do this once. I got the microphone out of this deal. The situation, I said, I'm not going to go to that. And the reason why is because the values they stand for. And they asked me why. And I got to tell a bunch of people why. And I was just like, because you know what God's word says? And you guys are crushing people, man. I'm not about that at all. It gave me a platform, actually, to tell of the Lord. So, hey, guys, let's quench not God's spirit. Let's not despise prophesying. We need more of it in our life. You know, we need more of it in our life. Love preaching, man. Find you things to listen to that are good. You know, and I'm not, and I know that, you know, I'm not saying like cell phones, social media, and all that's of the devil. There's good stuff out there. Just find that good stuff. And I found that. Everyone said, you know, you get on TikTok, and I'm like, my gosh. And I finally learned what I could do. You know, I'm like, I didn't really ask for the dancing ladies. But, you know, and all of a sudden, well, I'd learned, you know what I had to do? I had to hit buttons on there and just say, no, I need less of this, less of this. And then things that were godly or feeding something good in me that was about God and his voice, I would start liking. And now, like, and now I'm actually, wow. So, you know, it's great toilet time, man. And it's giving me God's voice. I'm like, I'm good with this. I'm good with this. Instead of things that totally despise what God's word says. You fill your head with that stuff. You guys know as well as I do. It's what you listen to. It's what you absorb. It's the shows you watch. And all of a sudden I find myself, I have quenched God's spirit here. Because I've really just despised his voice instead of just saying, I need more of it. Meditate upon his word day and night. Quit being one of those Christians. It's like, I'm going to read a few verses this morning. Good for the day, right? I'm going to say a little prayer. Good for the day, right? The Bible says pray without ceasing. Meditate upon his word day and night. It's a Christian. A Christian is the 24/7. It's the constant, right? Going to bed. Laying in bed. If you're laying in bed just doing this, what's in your head? Wake up in the morning, the first thing you do is like, what's in your head? Yeah, probably not good things. Unless, you know, I know a lot of times you go to your Bible app. You're using things like that. Why? Because you're not going to despise. You're going to treat God's word as nothing. You're going to hold it in high regard. Skip that stuff. I'm getting in God's book. Look what it says in verse 21. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Prove all things. Hold fast. Test everything. Examine everything. But the Bible says this. Let's get this one down. The Bible says this. The way to approve things that are excellent, like Philippians says, or things that are better. You know how we do that? We do it with God's word. That's exactly how we do it. Romans 2:18 says, instructed in the law, we can approve of things more excellent. Instructed in the Bible, you can approve of things more excellent. That way you can just say, yeah, we're not going to do that. Because you've tested it. And you use this book to prove it. Acts 13:49, the word of God was published throughout all the region. If you look up that word published, you know what it is? It's approving. You've proven that this is the game changer, so you publish it in your community. Does the Bible really work? Do you believe it? Does it change you? Does it improve behavior? Does it give people peace and happiness and comfort? All of those things, if you're a believer, you'd say, yes, it does. Then publish it. Proclaim it. Put it out there. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. You prove things. And then you cut out the garbage and you hold fast to that which is good. Hold fast to the book. Hold fast to your faith. And then everywhere we go, publish it. That's what we do. It's going to make the difference in our culture. You think the culture is going to be better because you're a nice lady. What a nice lady. Changes everything, doesn't it? No, the gospel changes people. You got to open your mouth. Don't hold that as a badge of honor all the time. You know, they crucified Jesus not for being a nice guy. They didn't crucify. They crucified. You know why they did? Because he kept putting the voice of God out there. He kept saying, thus saith the Lord. He was in the face of their religious system. And they're like, man, we hate this guy. And they got rid of him. And you know, we need to be Jesus on the planet. Because look, here we are thousands of years later. Who's the hero on the planet right now? Who's the number one known? What's still the most best-selling book in all of the world? They can say what they want to about it, but they can't deny the proof. It's here. It's here. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. So when your faith is under fire, the Bible says in 1 Peter 1, the trial of your faith being more precious than gold. So some of our faith, it's being tested. It's being tested. And so you know what we need to do? We need to be like that. Be a tester of everything and then hold fast that which is good. Prove all things. Yet check it out. That's what you do. And some, you know, we don't always just say, shut off that garbage music. We're like, hey, whoa, stop. What's that saying? What's that music about? Oh, here's what it's saying. Oh, that's horrible. Yeah. It's out. It's out. I proved it already. Have you ever heard that new song? Yeah, I heard it. Already rejected it. Really? Yeah, I test everything. Prove all things. Examine everything, but we examine it by this book. Because you can't examine it just with your opinion, because there's only one opinion that matters, and it's God's. Seek His Word. Because some of us, you know, oh, I don't like that. That's garbage music. Every generation says the next generation has garbage music. Don't just say that, Pops. Mom, don't do that to your kids. It's not the music, not the lyrics. You get on that, or you watch what's done in behind it, or look at the behavior, that it's all that type of stuff. You can prove it, and if you prove it, your kids can't stand there and just say, oh, yeah, you're just an old man. Instead, they just say, Dad's a wise man. He proves everything. I ain't afraid of nothing. I let God's word prove it, and it's going to stand. Hold fast to that which is good. Hold fast. Grab that thing and don't let it go. It's good. Hold it. Don't ever abandon that. Why? Because I've examined it already. You know, the Bible even says this. Listen to this one. This is a scary verse. 1 John 4:1. The Bible says that not every spirit is of God. So try the spirits to see if they are. There's spiritual things out there, and they ain't of God, but everybody does that. Anytime there's a good feeling or a church or somebody's even holding a Bible, and people just assume that that's the Spirit of God. Not always. Test that Spirit. You better try it. You know what you do? You got God's Word to test it and see. You can see that ain't of God. That don't line up with the Bible. What's that gal saying that? What's that guy saying that for? What you're doing is testing the spirits to see if they're of God. Try the spirits, man. We should be people. We're testers, man. We examine everything by God's holy book, don't we? That's what we are. I'm a tester. I'm not stupid. I test everything. Everything. I try it out. The last thing it says here, I'm sorry, this is a long one. Abstain from all appearance of evil. So next he says, hey guys, by the way, church, abstain from the appearance of evil. What's abstain mean? Anybody? Yeah, don't do it. So a lot of people say abstain. They usually use it in a context of like maybe sex. Abstain from that. Abstain from that. And, you know, and other people say, no, you can go and practice safe sex. Is safe sex? Well, there's unsafe sex, and there's safe sex, and then there's abstinence. Most people, it's in that context. The Bible does use it in that context at a couple spots. But here it says, abstain from the appearance of all evil. If you meet a guy or if you meet a girl, and I would just say, hey, the Bible says abstain from fornication. You'd say, yeah, I get it. Hey, you know what else the Bible says? Hey, abstain from idols. We'd be like, yeah, I get it. We would all say that. 1 Peter 2:11. Hey, abstain from fleshly lusts that war against the soul. You shouldn't watch that show because it's filthy. It puts filthy thoughts in your head and you want to do filthy things. That's just, I'm not stupid. I'm not a, right? It's just what the Bible says. I know that's true. I examine and I find out when I fill my head with that stuff, I act stupid. That's what I do. It's just pretty easy. So when we start talking about abstinence, yeah, abstain from that. Abstain from that. If I just said, hey, guys, I just recommend this. Abstain from meth, okay, church? Everybody would be like, does he have to say that? That's like a given, isn't it? Yeah. It don't do you very good. Do you notice what this says here? It don't say abstain from evil. Because we would all go, yeah, you want to get away from that. Abstain from the appearance of evil. From its appearance? So check this out. We all know when you study appearance in the Bible, you know what the Bible says this? Don't always judge according to outward appearance. That's what the Bible says. Do you remember Israel? They wanted Saul because he looked big, big shoulders. Choose him. He's the best looked God of the bunch and the smart. Choose him. And they put him as king. And the Bible says, my gosh, don't judge according to the outer appearance, but judge God looks at the heart, right? This is what the Bible says. And yet here it says, hey, abstain from the appearance of evil. Wow. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10:17, do you look on things after the outward appearance? Because that's pretty lame. Church used to be about that. Every lady in a dress, every guy in a suit and tie, right? Play the part. The outward appearance always looked perfect. Jesus told the Pharisees and Sadducees, man, the outside looks good, but inside, you guys are dead. Yeah, that's how church used to be. It looked good here, but inside it was full of dead men's bones, right? So now all of a sudden, he says, abstain from the appearance of evil. Guys, we are not supposed to judge according to the outside. Right? I mean, the Bible's clear about that. I just quoted a few verses from that. But the bottom line is this. The world looks on the outward appearance. Truth? That's how they look. You know, and people say that all the time, like, man, you can't judge me. Hey, sister, everybody's judging you. Don't play that card. Everybody is. The way that you look or the way that you dress, that's how the world does it. Henceforth, let's watch the way we look. Ain't that common sense? If the world is judging according to an outward appearance, then live accordingly. Okay. Really practically, like, let's make sure that we abstain from the appearance of all evil. So, the example I used years ago in that family bookstore, that back by the bathrooms was the adult section. That's where the porn movies were. So guess what? When I went into Family Video, I never went to the bathroom. Why? Well, because I didn't want anybody to think when I went down to that back room, that's where the adult movies were. I just didn't want somebody to say, man, Blake's up there. Isn't that guy a Christian? Well, wait, isn't that guy a pastor? What's he doing watching adult movies? Well, now I'm going to the bathroom. Well, they didn't know any better. So I would just be careful of that. That's all. That's what he says here. Hey, abstain from the appearance of all evil. And somebody just say, hey, so what's evil? And then it gets on the edge and it appears that way. And by the way, ladies, let me give you this one, because modesty is a big issue in the Bible. To be modest, to dress modest. And I don't mean to dress like you're from, 1837. It's not saying that. The Bible don't say dress Amish. It don't say any of that type of stuff. It just says abstain from the appearance of evil. So you look at evil. Look at what's evil. Find out what's evil in culture. Find the ladies that would say, yeah, that's kind of wicked. And then just look at how they dress and say, I'm avoiding that. It's just that easy. Nobody's saying dress this or wear this, and nobody's going to be at the door. They shouldn't be measuring the length of anything. I've been to places like that when I was a kid. I couldn't believe it. We'd go to camp and they're like, ladies, your shorts have to be. And they had a rule. I forget what it was. Do you remember what that rule was back? It was so 2 inches below the knee. Huh? Yeah, and they would measure. I was just like, for real? So when I came out naked, it was frowned upon, The whole point is, he just said, abstain from the appearance of evil. Hey, if evil people does that, then you know what, folks, as Christians, let's just avoid it. It's just that simple. Nobody's being a weirdo. But you know what we do? It's evil. Then people are wicked. And somehow it becomes, in our culture, kind of fashionable. And so we're just like, it's just a fashion. Yeah, but if it's a fashion of the wicked, I just want to stand out. When somebody just says, oh, why don't you wear that? I could say, here's why. So, rejoice evermore, church. Be glad always, man. Pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. Make sure your prayer life, you're thankful, and that'll boost up your happiness in your life. That's what verse 16 says. And then the negatives, quench not the spirit, man. When God's moving, don't quench that. Let it fly, man. Keep that fire, fan that flame. Despise not prophesying. Love preaching. Love the Bible. And it don't matter even if it's not perfect or exactly what we want. If Christ is being preached, then we're going to say, yes, don't despise prophesying. Just love that stuff. And it says, prove all things. If we love prophesying, now we know what we can judge after, right? We got a book that can judge it, and I'll prove everything. And then I'll hold fast that which is good, and I'll reject what's evil, even its appearance. You see that? Abstain from all appearance of evil. So everybody, let's bow our heads today. Is there anything on here that hit you? Is there anything in this list of things that we looked at that you'd say, that was good? Is there anything that you might say, Christian, you've been saved a long time, you've strayed. You've strayed from this. The things you watch, the things you do, the words that come out of your mouth. There was a time when you would have never done that. Maybe if God's speaking to you, do business with him right now. Say, man, God, I've been quenching your spirit. My attitude's been bad in this area. Yeah, give it to him. Confess it right now to him. Share it with him. Maybe it's, man, Lord, I know there's some things you've asked me to abstain from, and I'm just not willing to give them up. God, give me strength. I'm going to make a commitment right now to abstain from that. How's your prayer life? Are you praying constantly? Are you thankful? Hey, how's your mental state? Do you rejoice evermore? Are you glad all the time? You should be, because we got eternity set for us, don't we? Jesus, thank you for your word today. I pray, Lord, that these words sink in deep inside of us and it changes our behavior. Jesus, we want to be more like you. This is what we need. And God, help us to be bold in a culture that really despises you, that we would not, that we would stand up for your word. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen.